after scones, said Erin. You're late, said Devilskin grumpily from within. It's 6:10. The door was open, so Erin followed Devilskin's poodle into the flat. Sorry I'm late, said Erin, looking about her, wondering what lay beyond the 6 coloured doors. To the kitchen, child. Devilskin shooed her out of the murky vestibule. And just because you have scones, don't expect obsequious niceties. If they taste awful, I won't eat them out of kindness. Don't expect any of that. On a table, there was a trio of tiny spoons and dainty silver dishes containing berry jam. It happened to have come fresh from the 16th century from the court of Versailles. Unsalted butter and whipped cream. These last two were more locally and recently procured at a 24-hour mini market. 2 throne-like chairs, 2 porcelain cups and saucers with matching side plates, and 2 silver knives also awaited the commencement of the tea party. Since she had been late, Erin observed Devilskin's rule of no conversation, and instead of talking, she occupied herself with slicing open a scone and slathering it with jam and cream. Her knife clinked with horrible loudness against the porcelain plate as I set it down. She was mid-bite when Devilskin cleared his throat and said, you're a brave child. Not really. Apparently I'm grumpy and spoiled. Nothing wrong with being grumpy. Friendliness is overrated. People are nice while they need you in their lives. Erin shrugged. Well, you're not nice at all. So does that mean you don't need anyone in your life? Maybe, maybe not. You're full of secrets, aren't you? Like what's behind all those doors in your entrance. Zoos, gardens, an infernal limbo, and time traps, mostly. And now that you know, I will probably have to kill you. Although he said that, and could have done it with the greatest of ease, Devilskin was not yet ready to kill Erin. And surprisingly, too, he was enjoying her company. Whatever, said Erin, oblivious to the immeasurable power of the company man, which means a devil, sitting across the table. Can I go inside one of them and see? I used to have a huge garden where I lived before, and now there is nothing but concrete, tar, shops and nightclubs. It's sordid. Devilskin frowned, startled and amused by her lack of trepidation. What could it harm to let her see? He thought. The grumpy girl was not much longer for this earth. Go in at your own risk if you dare, but there is nothing at all to see unless you happen. With half a scone in her hand, Erin stood up and wandered back into the gloomy entrance. She chose to open the 3rd door. It was yellow. As Devilskin had said, there was not much to see but 6 more doors in an empty chamber. Clearly, this is not a zoo nor a garden, she said in the centre of the room. In the centre of the room, marble tiles made a circular pattern. So it must be a time trap. And where do those other doors go? And what is that sound? Halfway to the centre of the room, she spied a cricket and stood still, listening to the insect making its stridulations. She kneeled down and put out her hand, inviting it to climb onto her palm. Its spindly legs tickled her as it did so, and Erin giggled for the first time in far too long. Sitting there in Devilskin's strange middle-of-nowhere room, with the singing cricket on her hand, she felt uncommonly content. You are a sheer delight, she said. Maybe you can show me the secrets of this place. She held up the cricket closer to her face. And we can be friends, if you fancy. The cricket chirruped and flew up into the darkness of the ceiling. She walked out of the room and closed the yellow door behind her. Back in the kitchen, she found Mr. Devilskin dolloping Versailles jam onto the stove. I went into the room with the yellow door, she said, triumphant. It's not difficult to twist the doorknob. I walked to the centre of the room. Nothing special about that either. He smacked his lips, or rather the scar, where his lips would have been. You put too much baking powder in your scones. Despite his complaint, Mr. Devilskin had already eaten two and was on his third. It was a time trap, that room, wasn't it? Briefly, Devilskin paused from chewing to observe the glimmer of her soul. It truly was most uncommon and valuable. He could see into her heart's secret, most subconscious desires. She wanted to undo time at any price. She hankered to be a hero, to come out of the cupboard where she had hidden and save the people she loved from their most gruesome fate. Swirling inside her, he saw talent tainted with fury of volcanic proportions. Her heart will fit my chest most splendidly, he said. No way of knowing what a time trap really is, Devilskin said nonchalantly. But I found a cricket, and I'm sure he has a way of knowing. To Erin's great surprise, Mr. Devilskin's hideous face was suddenly transformed by a smile. His eyes twinkled, and then he whistled a tune, and with an arpeggio of chirps, the cricket landed on the lid of the teapot. Wondered where you'd got to, Mr. Devilskin said to the cricket. Off chasing girls as usual, I suppose. The cricket stopped his song and wiggled his feelers. He seemed to be listening to Mr. Devilskin, as if he were a person, not an insect. Do you know this cricket? Erin asked. Yes, we have been acquainted for a very long while. Devilskin smiled again and addressed the cricket. Not so, young fellow. We've shared a lot, haven't we? Devilskin's tone was almost fond, most out of keeping with his fearsome reputation at Van Riebeek Heights, and definitely at odds with his often surly demeanour. His name is Zhu. He was an envoy from the time when Genghis Khan ruled China. Isn't that so, Zhu? The cricket replied with a single chirrup. That gave Erin a strange feeling in the pit of her belly, and a memory squirmed inside her. A boy, her brother Joe, reading Chinese fairy tales to her when she was little, before she could read for herself. Fiercely, she crushed the memory with another kind of reality check. It was one thing to be having tea with a disfigured old Grinch and playing make-believe, zoos, gardens and time traps. Surely that was all it was. But it was another thing completely when the monster began making a fool of her. Because how on earth could he really be talking to a cricket? So you're saying he was once a Chinese man? Devilskin nodded and tipped tea into his saucer and placed it before the cricket. Drink up, friend. It must be lonely to be a man living as a cricket, Erin said, leaning down towards the little creature. You cannot make friends with other crickets, and you cannot make friends with men. It replied with a chirrup. Aye, Devilskin nodded. He says it is. I am probably lonely too, she said. My family is dead, eaten by a crocodile. She scowled. Let us drink to loneliness then, Devilskin said. So lonely girl, you have not yet told me your name. Erin, dear love. Well, dear love, I think you and I, apart from age and appearance, are very similar. Both of us sour and friendless, and I bet you have an ugly temper, just like me. We are both thoroughly unpleasant to be around, he grinned. Erin did not much like hearing that she was a thoroughly unpleasant person, but thinking about it, she realised Mr. Devilskin